chapter 4 this morning, and I want to go to verse number 13. We're going to read verses 13 down through 17. Every time I open up the book of James, or even if I'm passing by the book of James, I always think of Brother Nelson Skinner, because that's your favorite book of the Bible. He loves that book because it's so practical. And really and truly, I love the theoretical. I love studying all of that. I love it. I love the theory stuff. I don't know if it's just my background, but that's just how I'm wired. I like the theory. Don't get me wrong, I like the shoe leather. I remember J. Vernon McGee talking about that the gospel needs to be in shoe leather. What does that mean? We need to put it down into practice where we're at every day. And that's what James does. And so I want to look at these verses and then take a few minutes, and I want to get to that little slip of paper that I gave you before we part company after the service is over today. But in verse number 13, the Bible says this, go to now. Now, today we would probably say, come on now, come now, listen up, kind of what we'd say. But go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Amen. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Father, I do pray that you'd take the thoughts on our heart, what you've given us today, to open up these scriptures for a few minutes. And I pray that you'd bless it. God, I can't help you people, but I know this word can. You've already helped us, Lord, with your presence in the singing. You've already helped us in your presence in the testimony. Already helped us in your presence by what was said last week. And so I'm praying, Lord, you'd continue, Lord, to just open the scriptures up as we've had testified today about, Lord, just folks seeing themselves in the scriptures, Lord, and helping us out to see that we can see one and see ourselves and what you've done for us. I pray that you'd bless the word today in Jesus' name. Amen. The thought that I'm going to bring to us today, I've had on my heart for some time, off and on, in just the last few days. We're going to go back to Philippians 3, Lord willing, next week. We're going to go back to there next week. That's my hope and my plan to do that as we preach through that book and get through the truths that are found there. But ever so often, God will just touch my heart, my mind will start to crank a little bit, and I'll move in a different direction, and I don't mind doing that simply because I don't know who's going to be in the church at any given point in time. I don't know exactly where folks are at. I don't know what folks need. And I'm gonna say something here. It's probably going to shock a lot of you. I want you to listen to me now. We're looking at each other. We're dressed in our Sunday clothes. We're here. You know, smiles are on our faces. But I'm going to tell you, yesterday if you'd have seen me trying to work on that stinking water filter thing and trying to work on the shark bite and stuff and all that, it's like, I just want to throw a stick of dynamite to it and just get rid of the whole cotton picking thing. I mean, that's just me. Now, like I said, y'all pray for me. But we're looking around at a group of people who have it all together. Watch me. Not all of us in this room have it all together. And if you think you have it all together, I'm going to go ahead and burst your bubble. Ready? You ain't got it all together. You're deceived. You don't have it all together. As I look at the text here today, I'm hoping to help somebody today and help us this morning. I'm looking here at these verses about the evil boastings, the evil rejoicing, if you will, that's found in these verses. That's what James sums it up as. But I want to look at verse 13 and 14 together one more time, then we're going to come down and look at the text. He says, go to now. Or we would say in our language today, come now. Stop a minute. Come on now. Today or tomorrow, we're going to such a city, continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor. Watch this, that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. Just briefly, I turned 50 back in November, and I can look back, and I'm I don't know if it's a midlife crisis, but man, I'm thinking to myself, I'm still running in the woods. I'm still climbing trees. I'm still getting in the river when my mom said I'm not supposed to go in the river. I'm still getting in the river, all right? And I can say that because she's gone, not come back and whoop me. So, you know, I'm looking back, and I'm thinking to myself, bang. 45, 46 years ago, you know, here I am at this one place. 43 years ago, I'm in first, second grade at Rocky Branch Elementary School, in that little community school there in our county, in our community there. And just the things that I learned and the world that I came up in, it's like, man, it's just gone. And I'm not being ugly, and I'm not being, I say not being ugly, and I'm not being joking, but I'm telling you, you talk to Brother Kraft, you talk to Brother Skinner, talk to Brother Artie over here, they'll all tell you. It's just like, where'd it go? Where did it go? I mean, those were long days, getting up at 4, 4:30 in the morning and milking the cows and going out and doing all the rest of that stuff and then coming back in and doing it. I mean, you know, those were long days. You're thinking, man, these days will never get over with. And you look back thinking those were some of the most, you know, probably the joyous days you've had in your life. Where did the time go? And the time went because the Bible says in verse 14 that our life is a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanisheth away. The Bible tells us in Psalm 90 that the days of our years here on the earth are 70 and 10. If by reason of strength they're 80, 70 or 80 years, all we have really on this earth. And really and truly, that's nothing compared to eternity. What I want to look at this morning is just the idea of the brevity of life. And then we're going to come and look at that piece of paper in just a minute. Number one, I want to look at this attitude that needs correcting. In verse 13, there's an attitude that needs correcting. If I could just use a little bit of phrase that some of our dads probably said to us, boy, you need an attitude adjustment. Okay? Now, most of us don't know, some of you young folks don't have any clue what an attitude adjustment is. I'll go ahead and tell you, it's anything that can be wielded from a parent's hand about yay long, at least that long. It might be the form of a size 7 shoe. Amen. And it didn't matter where you got hit with that size 7, it didn't make any difference. I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. Amen. In this verse here, here's what James is doing. James begins to pose a very thought-provoking question in verse number 14 to his readers. We're going to get to that question in a minute. But why does he do that? Why does he begin to talk about them and you need to be thinking? And that's what a Jew does. He's going to answer a question with a question. Well, he's going to answer a bad attitude with a question as well. And here's what he's going to do. What's the bad attitude? There were folks here whose attitude, and I want you to listen to me, tomorrow is absolutely guaranteed. Look at verse number 13. Here's what they said. Today or tomorrow, we're going to go into such a city. We're going to do this. We're going to stay there for a year. And we're going to engage in trade, and we're going to make money. We're going to engage in trade, we're going to make money. Nobody has a guarantee that that plan is going to come to pass just like they planned it out. You've heard people say it before, you know, you want to, you know, make the Lord laugh, just tell Him what you're going to do, tell Him your plans, and well, amen. We're going to mess those things up for you. But here's the thing, they had the day all planned out, not only with what they were going to do, but listen to me, but also how the day was going to go. I guarantee you that when Job woke up that morning, he had no idea that everything that he had was going to be taken away before nightfall. And what did Job say at the end of that? The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. But I want us to look in verse 13 here, and when I see this, this is an attitude that is not an attitude of humility, but it is an attitude of pride. I am going to fill in the blank. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to say something that's probably going to stretch your mind a little bit, and this will be something we can sip a pot of coffee on and discuss. But this attitude right here, this fellow right here, the fellows that James is talking to here, this is an attitude where man, listen, man is in control. I'm going to throw this out at you. Being the one who's not in control is scary. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm just going to just back up just for a second. I know who's not driving this ship as far as like the country we're living in, but I can tell you where they're driving it, and they're running it right into the ground. Oh, yeah. Amen. You see the news clippings that say we will be engaged in war by 2025. Some of y'all probably seen those. It's like you've got people who, let's go to war. How about we just like lead a quiet and peaceable life with all godliness and honesty? And well, preacher, don't you know what, okay, I understand prophecy. I get that. I understand prophecy. Don't be super spiritual and tell me, I understand prophecy and I know that the United States is, people are, I know the United States is going to fall. And the United States, can I tell you, you live in that United States that's going to fall and you got youngins who are coming up in that, grandchildren come up with it. And if you hit me with that callous attitude, I'm going to question some things about your spirituality, friend. But I've got an attitude here that James is saying, this is a prideful attitude. And this is going to stretch your thinking here a little bit. When a man has this type of attitude in his own mind, I want you to listen to me. The Bible says here that rejoicing and that boasting is evil in verse 16. I want you to listen to me. When a man has the attitude of verse 13, I'm going to do this, I'm going to live at least a whole year, and I'm going to engage in trade, I'm going to make money. That man, listen to me, has placed himself on the same level as Almighty God. They were, look at me, if you can guarantee me that you have tomorrow and you can guarantee me what's going to happen tomorrow, friend, you're on the same level as God. That's a prideful attitude. But here's the thing, most of us may not even say things like this, and yet most people, listen to me, just kind of bebop along, rock along down the road of life, don't even give thought to what's going to happen the next day. As I already mentioned, Job had no idea that before nightfall he was going to lose all of his wealth and all of his family. Every bit of that. We stop and think about things in our lives. We are one doctor's appointment away from our world just being turned upside down. We are one phone call away from crying our eyes out uncontrollably. We are one communication away from our lives forever being changed while we live on this earth. Now understand, Matthew 6:34 does say this, take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow will do what? It'll take care of itself. Okay? That's a biblical attitude. That's not being lackadaisical. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. Why is that? Because we are living in the today. We're living right now. So there's an attitude that needs to be corrected right here. But now I'm going to look at the question in verse number 14, the question that needs considering. And here's the question. Look in verse number 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't even know what tomorrow's going to look like. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And then James says this, for what is your life? I remember watching some old television programs, and this was before they were colored. And if people, you know, some people asked me, did you all have a remote control growing up? You're looking at him. I was the remote control. If you're a man in your 40s, 50s, you were the remote control. That's right. You went up and you turned the channel. You turned the antenna. I mean, you did all that. That was our job. I was an electronics expert by the time I was 12 years old. Knew all about this stuff. Amen. I still remember the TV repairman coming to my house. Y'all remember that? You don't buy a new TV today, you just chuck it and you buy another one, all right? Well, I still remember watching those old shows, and my mom used to always love those things. I remember Groucho Marx. Y'all remember that? You Bet Your Life. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? You remember watching some of the old Ralph Edwards, This Is Your Life? Y'all remember? Some of y'all remember that. That's before my time. That's before I discovered America. There's a lot about life. Groucho having his program, This Is Your Life, and Edwards, you know, this, or You Bet Your Life, This Is Your Life. Well, here's the thing I want you to see. I'm going to ask you a question, and this is Brother James here. What is your life? What exactly is your life? Now, he answers the question. We're going to get to that in a minute. But here's the reminder that as I meditate on that question, what is your life? That reminds me, Brother Eric, watch me, that I have a life. I'm alive right now. The folks down at the cemetery down here in Philadelphia, they can't hear a word that I'm saying. I'm talking to those of us who are here now. And here's the thing. I've got a life right now, which means I am living. But one day, that life will come to an end on this earth. This body's going to die. Okay? Now, we can be super spiritual. Well, I'm not going to die. I'm going to live forever with Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Somebody's going to have to pay good money to stick your stinking carcass in the ground because it's going to rot and go back to the dirt. So there's going to be a death take place. What is your life? This reminds me that I've got a life. I'm alive right now. And I'm looking at a room full of people who are alive. But listen to me. I wonder this time next year if the congregation will look the same. And automatically people start looking toward the folks who are gray-headed. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to look to folks who got gray hair.
Right. That's right. Preach.
You can look at folks sitting next to you. The age doesn't matter. The socioeconomic status doesn't matter. The educational status doesn't matter. Death is going to come on every one of us at some point in time. And I'm going to tell you, it's creeping up on every one of us. It is hot on our trail. And the only thing keeping us on this earth right now alive is the hand of Almighty God, in whose hands our life happens to be.
Amen.
The question that I want us to consider this morning is, what is your life? Because we don't need to have that attitude that I'm going to do this and do that. As young folks, I guarantee you there are young folks here today, and you ought to have plans for the future. You want to have this idea that I want my life to count. I want to do something. Listen, you don't need to be living in your mom and dad's basement playing video games when you're 35 stinking years old. Find something that is good to work on. Have a job that is going to be an income coming in for you and for your family and all the rest of that. Work, because if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. You ought to starve to death. Amen. Not sorry for what I said, because the Bible backs it up. There ought to be a plan, a goal that you have for your life. But understand this, your plans need to be contingent on what God wills for your life. So there's an attitude in verse 13 that needs correcting. There's a question. What is your life that needs considering? But here's what I want to get to this morning. There is a reality that needs contemplating. There's a reality that needs contemplating. Look with me in verse 14. James asked this question that we need to consider. What is your life? Well, he's going to tell us. And friend, I will tell you something. I don't like the answer. I don't like it. Well, preacher, that's the Word of God. Can you tell me you like every bit of the Word of God? Do you like all the Word of God? I love the Word of God. When you fast. Not if you fast, when you fast. Talk to me. Praise God, preacher. I'm going to miss a meal today for Jesus. Oh, amen. Amen. I know we don't put people's names on the fasting and prayer calendar because we don't want, you know, that's between you and the Lord. But at the same time, I'm sure there's a few Sundays up or a few days up here that don't have any X's on them. It's not like we're rushing. Man, I can't wait to miss my next meal. Amen. Some of y'all can fix something you don't like and you'll miss the meal. You know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. We've got this thing that I really just, it doesn't sit well with my human nature. And it says this, that my life, watch this, is a vapor. It is a puff of smoke. That's all it is. It appears just for a little time, and then just like that, it vanisheth away. Just at 50, I'm telling you, I'm looking back. I am traipsing the hills. I'm walking through the woods with a .22 under my arm, walking around the hills just having a great time. I'm down at the river. I'm fishing. Me and my buddies are playing ball. We're just joking around, having good stories. Friend, that's 35 years ago. And all that has just zipped past by. I'm a papaw now. How did that happen? I know it's crazy, but my boy grew up, found him a little gal, married her, and they got a youngin. How did that happen? Time marches on. But it just looks just like a blur. It's gone. Let me give you a couple of verses here this morning. Job 7, verse 7. Oh, remember that my life, listen. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Now it goes on, mine eyes shall see no more good. But here's, my life is wind. You can't see it. You can see the effects of it. But it's here one minute, it's somewhere else the next. It fleets, it goes by fast. The one that everybody knows. Job 14:1. You can actually probably help me with this one. Man that is born of woman is of what? Few days. And full of trouble. Psalm 102:3. For my days are consumed like smoke. That's the first part of the verse. James 1:10. If you wanted to turn back, you could. I'm just going to read the verse. But the rich, in that he's made low, because as the flower of the grass, he, the rich man, shall pass away. Just like the grass, it pops up, it passes away. 1 Corinthians 7:1, and they that use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. James is telling us that our life is only for a short amount of time. And this is something that we all hear, we all know of, but we don't often come face to face with it. How many of us have driven up and down the interstate and we have passed by a wreck? Been in that long line and you finally get up there and everybody's rubbernecking, trying to see what's going on up there, but you get by and the car's turned over, the ambulance is there. How many of us have been by and we've seen the blanket covering up somebody on the interstate? We've seen one of those tragic occurrences. And can I tell you, but for the grace of God and but for the protecting hand of God, that could have been you going out that day. You could trip over something in your home, fall down the stairs, not be able to catch yourself, and break your neck. So that'll never happen. It could happen. It could happen. Maybe you're working on something electrical, and maybe instead of having the wires where they're not going to touch each other, they kind of ground off and you get it at the wrong time. I mean, it could light you up, friend. It could do that. You just don't know. I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to say it this way. Today is the only day that we have. Now, I hear people say, well, we're only promised today. Let me tell you something, friend. You can only be promised half a day. So I'm not even going to say that we're promised today because we may not make it through the day. I'll say it this way. Today's the only day that we have. Today's the only day that we have. And so in reality, today is your only day. Today's it. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm not trying to be morbid, but today could be your last day. It could be. In fact, we could probably say today's it. No more for me unless God blesses me with another day tomorrow. That ought to be our attitude in many ways. Because if God don't will it to happen tomorrow, then friend, God will will us to go to heaven. And again, my purpose isn't to be morbid. I just want to remind us about the reality of this truth that our life is nothing but simply a vapor. And that's it. So with this in mind, here's what I want to do. I've given you that piece of paper there in front of you. And here's what I want you. I thought about writing it on there, printing it off, but I'm not going to do that. I want your handwriting on that. And I know some folks, you use your phone as a Bible, but I want you to take this home with you, and I want you to put it in the physical Bible that you have so you'll see it for a while. You ready? On that top line, I want you to write this on that top line. You ready? I've laid awake at night and I've just kind of thought this. On that top line, I want you to write this. If today, and there's plenty of room to write this on that top line, if today were my last day, if today were my last day, and if you want to put the three little dots at the end, the little ellipsis, you can do that. I want to ask you a question. If today were my last day, what would the remainder of that piece of paper signify for you? Brother Allen, some folks have been where it very well could have been their last day. Your last day was 20-something years ago, brother, 25 years, but I thank God it wasn't your last day. Amen. 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 If today were my last day, I want you to, and I don't even know, if you want to date this, you could date it, just to remember what day this was on. But I don't even know that you ought to date it, because when you pull this out of your Bible, you ought to look at that and think, what if today were my last day? Let the reality of that sink in just for a second. If today were my last day, how would that make today different? Would we just rock along doing whatever we wanted to do? Would we go to a place, go to Kroger, go to Walmart, go to Cabela's, buy stuff? Would I be as worried about buying that new rifle, that new handgun, that new bow? Would I be with that, or would my priorities change if today were my last day? If I knew that. What would you do differently if today was your last day? What would you do? There are some folks, they'd say, Well, today's it. I'm going to go out and live the life of Riley. Sad, but there are some folks that would be their attitude. Some would get their pleasure in sin and leave this world unprepared to meet God. I'm convinced. But what would make today different? I'm not going to make you feel bad. I know we got folks who work, and I understand that. But would your schedule have been a little bit different today? Would your schedule have been different? Brother Rhodes brought a tremendous presentation of his field in Sunday school. He's just passing through. He's got another meeting somewhere off tonight, and it was tremendous. It was a blessing, and I hate that a lot of you missed it, But I'm just asking, if today were my last day, would I play my instrument, Brother Artie, Miss Savannah, David, would I play or sing differently? In my prayer, we had the 5 minutes of prayer. What would I have prayed for if today were my last day? Is there someone you'd pick up the phone and call if today was your last day? And if there was somebody you would call, what would be the content of that conversation? Say, preacher, they'd laugh in my face. It's not their last day, it's yours. Where would your mind be today if today was your last day? What would you be thinking on? Would you be thinking about crossing that river so wide, as we often sing? Would you be thinking about, I don't know, have I prayed enough? Have I done enough? Friend, it's not what you've done. It's, look at me, it's not the prayer that you prayed. You'll either get to heaven by the pure grace of God or you will not go at all.
That's right.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out.
Amen.
That's what it says.
Amen.
My warrant for entering into heaven is the 6th chapter of John in the 37th verse. That's my ticket to get inside. How do you know that? Because those words and a lot of those Bibles are written in red. He said that.
Amen.
If today were your last day, what would you be trusting in when the day's over? If today were your last day, what would you be trusting in if the day was over? Because at the end of that day, at the stroke of midnight, you're not turning into a pumpkin. You're gone. You're headed out into eternity. In which direction would you go? I'm sure there's a whole lot more that I could add to that. But I just want to bring us face to face this morning with the reality that today could be my last day. I would want to sing from the heart. I'd want to try to pray best I could. I'd want to try to play the best I could. I'd want to try to open up the Word of God and give you the best that I could what God's given to me. An older gentleman in our home church in Tennessee, the church my wife grew up in, that old World War II vet, he would sing that song, "Don't Let Me Leave Behind an Unfinished Task." And I wonder, are there any unfinished tasks that need to be sewn up, finished up, before you would leave today? Is there someone that you would tell about Christ today? You've told them, but you'd tell them one more time. Who knows, today could be the day that God's working on their heart already. And you just say the right word, and they just break. Yeah, I'll be saved. If today were my last day, what would be different about today? I'm going to leave that in your hands. I'm going to leave it right there. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. If today were my last day, put that in your Bible. And ever so often when you're reading it, whether you use it as a bookmark, whether it stays in there, I pray that the Lord will remind you of the brevity of your life on this earth every time you pass through that and you see that. And I'm not going to ask for these papers. This is yours. But I would encourage you, whether you use this piece of paper or another one, I'd encourage you to write out some things of this from my last day. This is almost like your last will and testament, but it ought to be spiritually speaking. I mean, yeah, we could put some stuff on there, put your name on it, get somebody to notarize it. Yeah, it'd be nice and cool. And, you know, he gets this, she gets that, they get this over here. Who cares about that? Who cares about that? You won't care about it. I'd encourage you, if today were our last day, what would today look like? Think about that. And if you would make some changes, I would encourage you, the time that you have remaining today, pray and ask the Lord to help you to put those changes into effect that would honor Him. All right. Well, we'll just stop right there. And if somebody else, I didn't think to tell the folks listening on the live stream, but just take you a sheet of paper, take your little sheet of paper, write that on the top. Stick it in your Bible. If today were my last day. Father, I want to thank you for letting us be here this morning. I know that time has come and gone, and I know that Lord, you have given us this time today. And Lord, you blessed us with up until 12:21 on Sunday afternoon. Lord, you've helped us and you've blessed us with this time today. God, you know how I've laid in my bed and thought to myself, if this were my last day, what if I left today? What if I did not open up my eyes on this side, but opened them up on the other side? What would I have changed? What would I have done? Who would I have spoken to? Lord, I don't know that anybody would be regretful of passing out more tracts, reading their Bible more, praying more, witnessing more, carrying on those spiritual conversations more. Nobody's going to be sorry for that. But I still remember the words of Brother Sammy Allen, how many of us would be ashamed at an unread, unstudied Bible? I remember the words of that dear man of God that just kind of caused me to think there's so many things that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before you, Lord, that you come. And Lord, I can honestly say, Lord, the conversation I had with you yesterday, Lord, and us talking, I'm grateful for your mercy. I'm grateful, Lord, for your long-suffering. I'm grateful for that. But Lord, I pray that you just help take this. Lord, I've so inadequately given this burden, but Lord, to the best of what I've been able to do today, I pray that you'd take it and I pray that you'd use it. And Lord, I just ask you that you'd be glorified in all things, Lord. Bless our time as we meditate, Lord, as we think on this during the day. I pray that you'd help us. Father, I pray you'd bless Brother Rhodes as he drives down the road and gets to his other meeting, Lord, this evening. I pray that you'd bless him. And Lord, just use that church to be a help and a blessing to him, God. And I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, Lord, just letting our paths cross, Lord, here and folks to hear his burden and get some help. Lord, you bless us, Lord, to come back tonight. I pray that you'd help us in the prayer room. I pray that you'd help us in the rest of the service time. And Lord, in the days that we would pray in the days of this week, if you allow us to live this long, it'll be by your grace, it'll be by your goodness. And I pray, Lord, it'd be unto your glory. Help us, Father, I do pray, to honor you in these thoughts and this meditation, that Christ would be honored by our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Savannah, come just play us one verse.